Welcome to the All for Literacy podcast, hosted by Dr. Liz Brook, welcoming established and emerging voices in literacy education and the science of reading. Explore with us the connections between literacy research, educators' knowledge and skills, and the implementation into classroom instruction.
You can share quick, digestible chunks for parents and for teachers, and it's a way that is easy to learn. You can save it, you can share it, you can spread it around.
Thanks everyone for joining us today as we mark another first for All for Literacy podcast. In late January, we joined educators from across the country in New Orleans for the Plain Talk About Literacy and Learning Conference 2024, and we recorded our first All for Literacy live. Our guest, Jessica Farmer, is a literacy advocate on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, offering valuable resources and insights for both parents and educators. She joined me at Plain Talk along with a live studio audience to discuss her journey in the role of social media and advocating for the science of reading in literacy education. Hey, everyone. This is so exciting for me. I'm Liz Brook, and I am so excited to do one of these podcasts live with all of you. And just so you know, I may at times ask the audience for like thumbs up, thumbs down, or just people shout out yes or no, because we can't give you all mics, but I want to include you in the podcast. I want to give you a little bit of background on me, and then I'm going to ask Jessica for you to do the same. So with the science of reading movement, I was one of those teachers who did not know how to teach reading, even though I was a first grade teacher, right? But I didn't even know. I didn't know everything I needed to know. And then I became a speech language pathologist and worked at Mass General Hospital in Boston and got the privilege and honor of working with Joe Torgerson at Florida Center for Reading Research. And then from there came to Lexia back in 2010. So I have been on a mission to make sure that all teachers understand the why. And Lexia has been doing the science of reading for 40 years. It's our 40th birthday. 1984, Bob Lemire, our founder, had this incredible mission, which we still carry on today. So, Jessica, I could read your bio, but because we're in person, I would love for you to share a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here. And I literally ran off a plane as fast as I could to be here. I'm really excited. And I love Lexia and I love this podcast. So, thank you for having me on. I'm a former classroom teacher, solid first grade teacher. You know, if you teach first grade, you're a first for life. Like if you found first grade, you either love it or you're like, move me down, move me up, move me somewhere else. But I loved first grade and that's where I spent most of my classroom time. And then I left the classroom. I became a literacy advocate. I became a letters facilitator for early childhood. I went through Orton-Gillingham training and I just dove into the science of reading. So that's just like a quick, brief little background on me.
Nice, nice. Okay. On these podcasts, we often start with this question. What made you choose education in the first place? What made you want to be a teacher?
So my entire family, I feel like, is in education. So it runs in my blood. My mom was my middle school choir teacher. That's rough. And my dad was the athletic director there. I have aunts and uncles and cousins who are teachers. So it just felt like the path for me. And I also met my husband in the College of Education. So we're both educators.
Wow. I have some parallel universe there because my mom and I were actually the first mother-daughter teaching team in the district in New Hampshire where I taught.
Wow.
She had been a teacher for 35 years, and then I met my husband at FCRR. So there you go.
Amazing. I love it.
Okay. And then what made you think about, yes, we're popping the champagne. Now we'll get the audience participating. All right. So what made you think about transitioning out of the classroom into advocacy?
Yeah, my kids were in school, they were growing up, and I felt like as a classroom teacher, I was missing a lot of that involvement with them. And I also saw this need for advocacy, and my social media page was kind of starting to grow, and I wanted to spend more time on that. And I felt like I could reach more educators if I put all my effort and power into that. And then I also became a facilitator for letters. So I just wanted to put all of my time into the science of reading and really support parents and teachers and anyone else who is working with children, teaching them how to read.
I love that. And the idea of social media is kind of the main focus of this podcast today. But I want to also come back to letters, yeah. Because obviously we love letters here, yeah, at Lexia, and it's so critical, and it's kind of taken the country by storm. So I want to come back and talk about the differences between something like letters and then how we can use social media. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to come back to that. So in our first episode, we had Emily Hanford, who many of you, show of hands, who listened to Sold a Story podcast. It's transformational. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. 6 episodes of, you know, what happened? How did we get here? We were sold this story. But she talked a lot about the pandemic being this trigger for people. Parents got to see their kids at home, they became the teachers in many cases. She also talked about how there was a bigger focus on equity and all of that. Can you talk about the pandemic and how that influenced your work in social media?
Yeah. So in March of 2020, we all jumped to start teaching online, which we had really never done before. We were building the plane as it was flying. A lot of us just felt lost. And so I saw parents and teachers having this need for information as we were jumping online. And social media is such a great way to share that. You can share quick, digestible chunks for parents and for teachers, and it's a way that is easy to learn. You can save it, you can share it, you can spread it around. And so I just started creating videos to help my parents who were helping their students at home, because we were only teaching for a couple hours a day online. The rest of the day was just office hours. So parents had to work with their children. And there was also a very popular YouTube video going around. I don't know if anybody saw it. It was called, Is My Child Learning How to Read? The Purple Challenge.
Yes.
And so this parent was documenting her child reading leveled readers, and she could read the text perfectly when the picture was there. And then she decided to take the pictures away and pull the words off of the book, and her child couldn't read the words. And that parent just had like an aha moment. My child is using the picture and guessing and just memorizing the pattern of this leveled reader. She's not really reading. And so that video was being, you know, thrown around all over social media. I watched the first and second part of that, and I thought, wow, we really need to share best practices for teaching children how to read as parents are working with their kids at home.
Absolutely. Show of hands, how many of you guys saw that video that Jessica's talking about? It is quite a powerful moment when you get so excited as a parent to see your kids reading. I know I don't have my own kids, but my nieces and nephews are like my kids. And the first time they read a book, you get so excited. And then to find out when you pull away those scaffolds, which you hope, of course, at the beginning, there's scaffolds. But anyway, so that video was very powerful. You talked about quick, digestible, you can share it. What are some of the other characteristics that you feel like social media allows us to do with professional learning that a more traditional program like letters, right? Obviously, there's pros and cons, yeah, to both, but can you talk a little bit about what drew you to the platform of social media?
Yeah, first, it's very accessible. Almost everyone is on social media and it's free. So that is something that keeps a lot of people from getting professional development is the cost of it. If their districts have already invested tons of money in these big curriculums and these trainings, they're not going to pay for something else for you to go to. And so it's a way of getting that information very quickly and at an affordable price.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah. And how do you think about parents? I know there are so many parent groups out there, and they're such a strong force for advocacy for their own kids and other kids. So how do you, not only are you thinking about the parent community as well as the teacher community, or how do you focus most of your videos, or how do you decide which community to focus on with the different videos?
I try to make my content for everyone so that it applies to if you're an interventionist, if you're a reading specialist, if you're a tutor, if you're a parent. I try to just make it very understandable and relatable, and also to let teachers and to let parents know that, listen, I was once in your shoes. I'm a former balanced literacy teacher. I was trained in guided reading. I had leveled readers. I had Skippy the Frog up on my wall. I had Eagle Eye. I had all of that. And so I try to come from a very understanding place, an uplifting place. And I try not to put anyone down for not knowing what they don't know. So,
right. I think that's one of the things too, when I think about probably how many of you in this room were trained in balanced literacy or whole language, right? A lot of us. And that idea of blame, you know, I thought I was doing the best job. I would stay late. The custodians would be like, Liz, you have to go home. But, you know, so to learn that what you've been doing for all this time, right? And Maya Angelou says, when we know better, we can do better. And so I think that's so important. And even I've learned that, or made this shift for myself lately. You know, I think colleges and universities are getting a bad rap as well. And I was part of that. But the professors are in the same boat, right? The professors were teaching what they were taught to do. Mm-hmm. I think now moving forward, okay, you can't hide, even though the science of reading is, you know, over 50 years of research, yeah. Right? And again, I always like to say, remember, the science of reading is just the evidence, right? And structured literacy is how we apply that evidence. But that evidence has been around for so long. And so, okay, we know a lot of people didn't get that information.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're thinking about what are the, there's decades and there's so many topics to cover, how do you decide what is most critical to use this platform to share information?
Yeah. So my pages are geared towards the primary grades. I focus on foundational reading skills and writing skills because that foundation is where everything begins. So I'm really trying to catch those kindergarten and first grade and second grade teachers at the beginning of their careers and helping them understand how to use these strategies and how to use best practices in their classrooms so that we don't have these huge gaps by the time children get to third and fourth and fifth grade and so on. So that's where I really try to spend my time. And then if teachers ask for something in particular, I'll look it up for them, or I'll, you know, okay, you want me to focus on a morphology lesson? Okay, let's do it. So I try to really listen to my audience and see what they want to learn. And it's really me who answers all my messages and comments. So if you've ever messaged me before, it's me. I don't have a team. It's little me answering all of them. So if I'm slow, that's why.
And who do you turn to when you say, if you don't know, you look it up, and you like, what are your favorite resources or your favorite influencers, if you will, in the reading world?
Well, there's tons of reading influencers now, which is so exciting. But I definitely turn to a Facebook group that's very popular, The Science of Reading, What I Should Have Learned in College. That was my first introduction into the science of reading. That is when I learned about the science of reading, when I found that group. And I read Emily Hanford's At a Loss for Words from 2019. So I always direct people to join that group. Read everything you can. It's going to be very overwhelming, but join that group, because you can just kind of be a fly on the wall and watch for a little bit. And then once you get comfortable, you can ask some questions, because people can be a little intimidating in that group. If you're in that group, you know. But also Reading Rockets is an amazing resource, along with FCRR, the Iowa Reading Research Center. There's just tons of amazing, high quality, free resources out there. You just have to know where to look for them. And so that's kind of a lot of what I do on my page, is search out these quality resources and compile them so people can find them in one place.
Absolutely. And I have been, even again, someone who's now spent a lot of years with the science of reading, that Facebook group can be overwhelming, to say the least, as you said. You know, oftentimes in that group, there could be a bunch of comments that maybe lead you astray. So how do we think about social media from that perspective, right? We talked about the standard professional learning, like letters, has pros and cons, and social media has pros and cons. I feel like one of the potential cons is, how do we vet what everybody is ingesting? Yeah. So how do you think about helping your readers do just that?
Yeah, it's challenging. There's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of incorrect responses to things. And so you just have to make sure that the person that you are following or listening to has some background, has some training that maybe you don't have. Look into that. Have they gone through letters? Do they have specialized training in the science of reading? You know, do they have an advanced degree from one of the universities that has a background in the science of reading? Or are they sharing things that look like balanced literacy? You know, you have to kind of keep an open eye and watch for little red flags. So it's challenging. There's not really a good answer for that, because there is a lot of things out there to distract you, and things that look cute and pretty and beautiful on Instagram that will catch your eye. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, is that aligned? I don't really know. So feel free to screenshot something and send it my way if you like something and you're like, I don't know if I should use this or not. And I'll do my best to answer that, or I'll lead you to someone who knows better than I do.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to look at. Some of the backgrounds of the people who are running those pages, or again, going to organizations like FCRR, Absolutely. Reading Rockets, yeah. Right? Hopefully at Lexia, we provide some yes. of those resources as well. But starting really with that foundation of what is the science, right? The components. So let's go back to letters. When did you say in your career you became a letters facilitator? And you said early childhood too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I facilitate for early childhood. I think it's been 2 years now. So I love early childhood. It was great to go through early childhood while I was teaching first grade, because that foundation is so essential. And, you know, in first grade, there's such varied skill levels. So even though a lot of that information applies to pre-K, it goes up into kindergarten and first grade as well. So it was about 2 years now that I've been a facilitator for Letters for Early Childhood. And that information, it also supported me with teaching my youngest how to read. He was actually in pre-K while I was becoming a facilitator. So I got to see all of that happening Live. Through him.
Your yeah. bridge to practice, right? That's
yes, exactly.
A
my
real
own,
life bridge
my
to
own
practice.
Child. So it was really applicable in that moment. So I always could use him as an example.
Yes. And I really want to highlight, and I think, I know Dr. Lucy Hart Paulson will be here, the main author of Letters EC. And I'm going to put on my speech language pathologist hat right now, because one of the things that I want to try to champion too, you know, it's, as you said, word recognition and phonics, those foundational skills are getting a lot of attention in the press, which is great. But there is a misconception that it's just phonics, right? And we know that oral language is the foundation for later reading ability. And so with letters, whether it's EC or elementary or admin, teaching about both sides of the simple view or both parts of the rope, right? I think that is really critical. And when you thought about that experience going through letters and becoming a facilitator, a lot of teachers are going through that, mm-hmm. whether through their districts or state legislation. As you are going through it, how can we think about best supporting teachers who are going through a pretty rigorous professional learning while also teaching? Like, what were some of the things that you loved and thought about during letters, and other things that we can maybe learn from and think about as we support teachers?
Yeah, I definitely think schools need to provide the time to complete the work. That's a lot of things that get brought up during trainings is that the teachers are like, I don't have time to do all of this. And when do I have time to answer all these questions? I'm grading papers. I'm writing IEPs. So if school districts or specific schools can just provide some time for the teachers, because that's what's very limited is their time. And they have to put that focus on their students, but they also need to get the information from letters to help them do better for their students. So it's really a challenge, that work-life balance. So that's probably the biggest thing that I hear from teachers is just the time. I need more time.
And I agree that more time, but also that you mentioned about your own child as you were going through. Can you talk a little bit about that idea of bridge to practice, and how do you weave those concepts into your social media platform?
Yeah. So my son was a toddler during the pandemic. And so part of the information I was sharing were activities that I was doing with him at home. And so, you know, I took a video, I remember way back when I first started my page, of going for a walk with him and counting syllables of things that we saw on our walk. And he was 2.5, maybe. And we would walk and I'd say, that's a mailbox. Can you count the syllables in mailbox? And he'd go, mailbox. So already at that young age, he was developing that understanding of syllables in words. So I like to share that because I think parents are maybe afraid to introduce things too early. And that's what I like about letters, is that it explains that it's not about introducing advanced concepts early. It's about building a foundation, that developmentally appropriate practice, and knowing what's developmentally appropriate for a child at that particular age. So I was able to apply that with my own child, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. I think sometimes when people think, especially even with infants, right, they think, well, they can't talk back to me, so why should I talk to them? Right.
Yeah.
But to your point, making sure, you know, it's developmentally appropriate, but introducing things as part of your daily routine. I often talked about categorizing your shopping list, your grocery list. When you think about it, a grocery store is categorized, right? And what do you think about when you think about main idea and details? What are you doing to the information in the story? You're categorizing it, right? So when I was at Mass General, we had this whole course called Thinking in Categories. Like, it's just, to your point, you're going on a walk. So let's infuse some language, some thinking, some connections to those foundational skills. So that's great.
Yeah.
And when we think about, again, letters, and sorry, were you still in the classroom when you were...
When I first started going through letters, I was in the classroom.
And so did you see that immediate impact, or did you feel like you had to wait? Because I think that's the other thing people think about. You know, there's so much that you're learning in letters, but you don't have to wait till you finish volume one or finish volume two, right?
Yeah, no, you can implement it right away. And so right at the beginning, talking a lot about oral language development and all of that, and having more conversations, tuning in, taking turns, all of that was so fascinating. And I started to apply that right away with my students. So it was an exciting time.
Excellent. How many followers are you up to now? I think
I have like 163,000 on Instagram and 120,000 on TikTok or something like that, give or take a few.
Yeah, almost 200,000.
Yeah.
And so have you thought about what's next in that community of teachers or community of parents? I mean, almost 200,000, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you thinking of for the next steps?
Yeah, what's really exciting is the reach that you can get on social media, because it's not just educators and parents in the US, it's people from around the world. So I get messages from people in Australia and China and all kinds of places. So it's been fascinating to learn about different cultures and connect with people from around the globe and learn a little bit about literacy instruction around the world. So I'm just going to continue to share and to grow and to connect with people from everywhere. So it's really exciting. And it's just really fun.
And what makes you most hopeful when you, maybe it's the responses you get from teachers or parents? What makes you most excited about this kind of, I think Dr. Julie Washington talks about it as a reading revolution, right? Yeah. It's not reading wars, it's a reading revolution.
Yeah.
So we feel like we're on this tipping point, right? From balanced literacy and whole language. And, you know, we feel like we've gone back and forth a little bit, but it feels like this is a true tipping point. But what gets you most excited about the future?
Yeah, I can definitely feel that coming. It's really exciting. But the amount of messages I get every day from parents and educators that are just so excited to try new activities, implement new strategies, learn new routines. It's thrilling. And also there's so many reading pages now that have appeared and more appear every day, which makes me so excited for the future because more and more educators are starting to share about it. And so to make change, we have to make noise. And so we're making a lot of noise. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. So we have to keep shouting and yelling and telling everybody that we can. And social media is a great way to do that. And it's what's funny is I'm kind of a shy person in person. You wouldn't think that when you look at my page, but I don't know you're watching me when I'm recording that. So social media is great for everyone, even people who maybe aren't comfortable coming to a big conference like this. They can learn from the comfort of their home. So
absolutely. And I say, you know, some of my friends or family, when I tell them about the NAEP scores, they're like, what? And I think sold a story. I think, you know, it was downloaded 8 million times or wow. something. I think I joked that I was responsible for 1 million of those because yeah. I shared it with everybody. But I, when you said about make noise, I feel like those scores should be on the nightly news every single night. Like, yeah. I can't believe that more people in this country are not up in arms that 2/3 of our kids in this country cannot read proficiently.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. But that idea of making noise and building community, absolutely. And I do feel like there is this momentum. And so as one last question we like to ask too is, for all those, whether it's first grade teachers out there, again, I hear you. I was first grade and you're a first grade teacher for life. What's some actionable advice that you could give to those teachers? I always like to say, whether it's more formal, like letters or Aspire or, you know, social media, what is something I can do differently on Monday morning?
Yeah, I think taking small, manageable steps is important because you don't want to get yourself overwhelmed. I always recommend for anybody who's like, I really want to start with some training, but I'm not sure where to begin. I tell them to go to the free Reading Rockets 101 course and start taking those modules. It's a really great introduction and not so overwhelming, self-paced. So you can just do that on your own time. And from there, find podcasts like this. There are so many amazing literacy podcasts mm-hmm. out there. And then think about more formal training when you get a little bit under your belt.
I love that idea of it's really that 1-2 punch, right? So getting comfortable, finding from reputable sites. I yes. think that's how we have to best help, again, whether Reading Rockets, the Reading League, FCRR, yes. Lexia, those types of things. But then take the more formal, dive in deeper, dig into the language. I think that's a really great suggestion for folks and podcasts. I mean, who knew? I didn't know about podcasts until I had my own.
Yeah.
So it is great. Now I listen to all these podcasts yeah. and it is, to your point, you're on a walk, you're listening, it's self-paced, you can do it, you know, when you have time in your day.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And I just want to make sure that our listeners, so Farmer Loves Phonics yep. is, and this is where I am not social media savvy. So is that a handle or is that your?
It can be a handle or it depends on the platform, handle, username, all of that. So okay. I'm Farmer Loves Phonics on everything. So you can just okay. look for me that way. You can Google me.
Okay, so Farmer loves phonics. I love it. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being here with us and helping us celebrate 40 years of Science of Reading with Lexia. And thanks to our live studio audience.
Yay! Thank you!
And if you're open to it, maybe we could do one or two Phil Donahue-style questions. If anybody had a question, you can either come up here and join us on the couch, or Carrie can run and you have a question? All right.
Well, I just wondered about TikTok. I feel like the younger generation, especially I have older kids that are, you know, 26 to 30 or whatever, and I feel like TikTok is that. I just wondered your role in there and what you think this should play, because I even think about Lexia with all of our users that use Core 5, Power Up, and Lexia English, besides our letters trainers. How can we incorporate or build them in with that?
Yeah, TikTok is definitely where the younger generation is. It's a different vibe than all of the other social media platforms. So you have to kind of get into the trends and see how you can apply that to literacy. And it's a lot of fun. There's no other place you can learn about word chains with the best music. So TikTok is a place for a lot of growth, a lot of reach. And so it's an exciting place. So it's definitely somewhere that you should share and reach that younger generation, because that's what they're very fluent with, is understanding TikTok and how it works. So if you can get in on TikTok and start growing your page, then you're golden.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Anybody else have a question? The question was, what's been one of your most memorable experiences engaging with your audience? Like, wow, I'm connecting, I'm making the difference.
I think when my page just kind of started to grow very, very quickly, I realized how much people wanted this information, needed this information, and kind of latched on to it. And I saw so many teachers in the comments thanking me for the information that I was providing to them. And I'm like, don't thank me. You have to thank all of these other Science of Reading heroes like Emily Hanford, Dr. Nita Archer, all these people, Dr. Louisa Motes, that are doing the work out there. And I'm just trying to make it digestible, like I said, understandable, and using terminology that parents and maybe teachers who were trained in balanced literacy that don't have that vocabulary. Again, that vocabulary and background knowledge makes a difference for everyone. So that's really when I started to think, wow, maybe this could be something. It turned into something I never thought it would. I didn't think I'd be sitting here doing a podcast with Lexia. So yeah, that was kind of like my turning point when I thought, wow, I can really make a difference with this. And having a video hit a million views, like, oh my goodness, a million people have seen this and watched it. That's like mind blowing. I had no idea that would ever happen. So that's really what's been most exciting, and connecting with everyone. And if you follow my page and if you've ever written me a message or talked with me before, please come up to me and say hi. I might not recognize you, but you can say, oh, I wrote you a message about this. And then I'll remember, because I try to connect with anyone who reaches out to me.
Awesome. And I think one last comment to kind of summarize what we've talked about here tonight, the idea of professional learning from very formal and in-depth, but critical, to social media, digestible, approachable, the idea of differentiation, right? We think about that all the time with our students, but we need to think about it with our adult learners as well. And it's not one or the other. It's a continuum. Absolutely. And we have to meet our learners where they are.
Yes.
So again, Jessica, thank you so much. And thank you to our audience. And thank you to our listeners for joining us today. I'd love to hear your questions from those listening at home. You can join the conversation on LinkedIn or X, formerly known as Twitter. You'll find our profiles linked in the podcast description. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you at our next episode.
Love this episode of the All for Literacy podcast? subscribe, leave a review, and join the literacy conversation.